The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Okay, welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You, and we're going right into our old-time radio segment. Today's segment is Suspense, The Bride Vanishes.
Suspense. Suspense is compounded of mystery and intrigue and dangerous adventure. Stories calculated to intrigue you, to stir your nerves. Tonight, for instance, as we begin, you may want to ask yourself, how could a young lady, a bride, walk out on a balcony alone and vanish? Completely vanish. We trust that while you are wondering how and why it was done, we shall keep you in suspense.
For Suspense, tonight CBS presents The Bride Vanishes by John Dixon Carr.
Italy in springtime. Italy as we used to know it before the jackal struck. And the island of Capri, 20 miles out across the Bay of Naples. Blue water adazzle under the sun. Behind you, the bone-white beaches and Vesuvius dull purple in a heat haze. Ahead, as the little steamer from Naples chugs out across the bay, rises Capri. Olive trees and white roads and vineyards above the cliffs. Could young Americans find a better place to spend their honeymoon? While the guitars sing and the warm winds blow, and the little steamer carries them.
Well, Mrs. Courtney?
Well, Mr. Courtney.
I can't keep it up, Lucy. I'm going to break down and ask if you're happy.
Oh, I'll break down, too. I want to walk up to everybody I meet and say, whee, just like that.
What I want to do is turn somersaults myself all along this deck here.
I want to say, I've been married to Tom Courtney for practically 2 weeks. And now we're going to have a villa at Capri for a month. Oh, Tom, I ought to be the happiest woman in the world. Only...
You shivered. What's wrong?
Well, ever since we got aboard this ship, people have been staring at me.
I can't blame them for that, dear.
No. I mean in a funny way. And muttering. Even your American friend. What's his name?
Granger?
Mr. Granger. When you introduced him to me at Naples, I thought his eyes were going to pop out.
Be careful. He's standing over by the rail now.
Oh.
He lives at Capri.
I like to see him wearing that white 10-gallon hat in Italy.
Before Granger made money in oil wells, he was a real old-fashioned cowpuncher. And he's proud of it. Good fellow, too.
He's too polite to say anything, but he keeps looking around at me, just the same as the rest of them do.
Well?
Well, Tom, they look scared.
You know, Lucy, this isn't the time to start imagining things.
I know. Well, maybe I'm just so happy I'm afraid it can't last.
Oh, don't say that.
But wouldn't it be pretty awful if something did happen and we weren't together any longer?
Wait a minute. Hasn't this ship stopped?
Yes. Well, it is Capri ahead of us, isn't it?
It can't be anything else. But it seems a funny place to stop. No sign of a harbor. Only rocks and little gray cliffs. Oh, Mr. Granger... Mr. Granger?
Yes, young fella?
Do you happen to know why we're stopping here?
Well, yes, that's an easy one, son. We're stopping so that you and your good lady and anybody else who's curious can get a look at the Blue Grotto.
The Blue Grotto, of course.
Now, just shade your eyes with your hand, ma'am. You see that tiny little arch under the cliff?
Yes.
And all the little white rowboats are coming out towards us?
Yes.
Now, when the first boat comes alongside, you climb down that iron ladder and get in. The boatman will row you out and through the arch into the grotto. It's a great big dark cavern. The water in there looks as though it's lit up underneath with blue fire.
Like to go out and see it, Lucy?
Oh, I'd love to.
But let me give you a little tip, though. The current's pretty fast out there. You'll go shooting under that arch like 60.
Are we likely to upset?
Oh, no, but the arch isn't as high as your head. When you see it coming, lie back flat in the boat. That is, unless you want your block knocked off.
Well, thanks, Mr. Granger. We'll remember. Come along, Lucy. Easy on the ladder, Lucy. Don't look around yet.
Oh, I'm all right, darling. And just as good a swimmer as you are.
I'm in the boat now. Take one more step. Steady. Yeah. There you are. Now turn around facing the boatman and sit down here beside me.
What's the matter with the boatman?
Easy, man. Do you want to upset us? Sit down.
You come back, yes?
Come back? Well, I've never been here before in my life.
Push off, man. Start rowing. The other boats are piling up behind you.
You come back.
Start rowing, can't you? Andare subito. Basta.
Tom, he can't take his eyes off us.
I wish he'd watch out where he's rowing.
You come to live at the Villa Borghese, yes?
Tom, how did he know that?
He's the lady. She is not dead.
Dead? Of course she's not dead. What are you talking about?
She never come to Capri before?
Never.
Then I tell you, she will disappear just like the other one.
Disappear?
I arrest my orders, and I tell you.
Tom, aren't we moving rather fast?
Yes, that's the entrance to the grotto ahead.
I tell you, there was a lady so much like you at all, caught at the back, oh, it scared me.
Now, look, old man, I don't want to teach you your business, but you've got your back to that grotto.
Take this lady back where she come from. Do not take her to the Villa Borghese.
Down, Lucy, flat on your back, down!
Signore, signore, I am sorry. I almost make you get hurt.
You know you nearly got your own head knocked off.
Excuse me, Nor. I am used to it. Now, I will row you round the Blue Grotto.
I don't think I like it much, Tom.
Neither do I.
Dark. Except for that blue light under the water. Transparent. You can see the fishes swimming.
Just a minute, boatman. This lady who disappeared from the Villa Borghese.
2-3 years ago, she disappeared.
You say she looked exactly like my wife?
Si, signore. She was going to be married. She was trying on her wedding dress. Her mother and sisters, they were in the room with her. She walked out on a balcony over the sea. You know what I mean, on a balcony over the sea? And nobody ever hear of her again.
You mean she jumped over into the sea?
Or a young girl going to be married. Kill herself? No.
And what did happen?
Over the back, her, I do not know. But sometimes they say you can meet her ghost in here. She float just under the water where you can see her and turn over and over. And the wedding veil is still round her face.
Tom. Let's get out of here.
You want to go, yes?
Lucy, if this fellow's stringing us along...
He's not stringing us along.
Then somebody ought to know what this means. If we've inherited a haunted balcony where people disappear like soap bubbles, I say it's too much. Let's get back to our ship and talk to Granger. Yes, boatman, take us back.
Mr. Granger!
I'm aboard, ma'am. Oh. You too, young woman. This ship will start to help us. Here, give me a hand, Lucy.
Thanks, dear. Oh, didn't anybody else go to the Blue Grotto?
Well, ma'am, no. Not after they saw you go.
It's all right. We've just heard the story, Mr. Granger.
Oh, I ought to have told you about it myself. All the way out here, I've been cussing myself and thinking what an ornery old badger I am for not telling you when I first met you in Naples.
The girl did vanish then.
By a first-rate miracle, yes. In broad daylight and within 20 feet of her mother and sisters.
You don't look like a man who'd believe in miracles, Mr. Granger.
Oh, I'm not, son. I'm just telling you what happened.
But why is everybody so excited? Somebody must have thrown her off the balcony.
Josephine Adams was all alone on a balcony 40 feet up a cliff, smooth as glass. She didn't fall. She wasn't thrown because there was no sound of a splash. and she didn't come back from the balcony because her mother and sisters were in front of the only door. Yet, within 15 seconds, 15 seconds, mind you, she just vanished.
You believe that?
Sure, I believe it, son. Why, it's a fact.
Did you know the girl's family?
Oh, very well. We've got a real English-speaking colony here. Oh, by the way, in about half a minute now, I'm going to show you your new home.
Oh, can we see it here on the ship?
Oh, sure you can, ma'am. It's on the edge of the cliff. Dr. Davis's house is on one side of it, and my shack's on the other. That's why I want to ask you a question.
Of course. Ask anything you like.
Well, I'm an old stager, ma'am, and not exactly up to the high-toned society around here, but do you trust me?
Yes, I think so.
Well, then promise me something. Unless you're with somebody you do trust, keep away from that balcony.
Do you honestly think there's danger or...
I don't know, son. If I did, I wouldn't have to talk this way.
Sounds like a dog barking. I thought I heard it before.
What is? A big police dog. And led by a very handsome woman, if you ask me.
Oh, Lord, here she is again.
Who?
The Countess. She lives in our colony.
She looks like an American. You take your eyes off her, Tom Courtney.
She is an American. Married a Count Parcheesi or something like that. Just call her Nellie.
My dear Mr. Granger.
Hello, Nellie.
It's true. Everybody told me so, but I couldn't believe it until I saw her. She does look exactly like poor Josephine Adams. Just as small, just as dainty.
Please, is everybody trying to give me the jitters?
Nellie, I want you to meet some friends of mine.
Oh, you don't need to introduce me. I know who they are. You're the nice young couple who've taken that villa. I'm Nellie LeCavey.
Oh, yes.
This is my dog, Tiberius, named after the wicked Roman emperor. You know who used to live at Capri? I must confess I'm terribly fascinated by wicked things. Aren't you, Mr. Courtney?
Lucy, stop digging me in the ribs. I haven't done anything.
No, and you're not going to.
Tiberius seems to have taken quite a fancy to you, Mrs. Courtney.
Oh.
I've never known him to go to a stranger before.
Well, I only wish I could borrow him. He might be a charm against... Oh, I don't know.
We'll be at the harbor in a few minutes. Then you must let me drive you up to the villa. You won't be able to get any servants, I'm afraid, because they won't stay there. But you can camp out.
Look. There's the villa. We're passing it now.
Where?
On the cliff, where I'm pointing.
Wait a minute. Well, there must be some mistake. That's not the Villa Borghese.
It sure is, son.
That's a palace like all the other houses there. And I rented it furnished for about $25 a month.
Can't you guess why you got it so cheap, son? If you take my advice, you'll turn around and go back to Naples by the next steamer.
Harry Granger, don't be an idiot. Let's have some excitement. Let's have some excitement.
Tom is beautiful.
Too infernally beautiful, if you ask me.
There's the balcony.
It's all right by daylight, son. Marble and tapestries and whatnot. But at night, when you gotta put out the lights, you start thinking what happened there.
You're listening to LIU Post Public Radio.